So what's a phony look like? Let me build up a few enemies out here this morning. You know, and it just hit me because we're talking about, reaching out and, lending a hand where we see a hand at the time and when it's needed. And Lloyd gave us the story about the fellow and giving him some of his chicken meal. And that's fantastic. But how many people would have looked at that fellow and with an instant judgment say, well, he's an alcoholic or he's a drug addict or, why doesn't he get a job? And all these kinds of things. And I honestly believe that that's a person who just does not want to part with that $1.65 or whatever it is he has in his pocket that's left over and he has no place for. You know, if you're pushed from the inside out, inside of you somehow that says to give, you don't look in judgment at anything. You just give, you know. And like you said, Lloyd, it's not easy. It's a road we have to get to too, and maybe many don't get there. I don't know, you know. And maybe they're not hurt enough. Maybe they never will get there. I don't know. But you're right. It's a road and it's a path. And I can remember being awfully selfish in life, you know. And it was when I had lots of stuff, you know. It's interesting to think back. And you're generous to a fault, as you said, to, have been accused by some people. So, you know, being generous to a fault, you're not giving money away for people to buy drugs with and that kind of stuff purposefully. But by the same token, if you're called to give to something or someone as you're walking by, you do it. And that's what I do, too. You know, and if I know certain exits off the 401, for instance, I know there's going to be somebody there. And I'll get a sense as I'm coming off, even before I see if there's actually someone there or not, whether I'm to give or not. And, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And some of the people even get to know who you are, you know, at some of these exits. Sometimes I'll avoid the exit because I just don't have the right sense, or I don't have any toonies or whatever on the dash there. But I don't know. To give is good, and to give sacrificially, you know, when it hurts. To even decide in life, okay, what is it? What's my purpose in this life? And it's always like you were saying, to give back in some way or other. But what is it? Am I going to give back as you said? Am I going to be the first responder and make a difference in whatever the situation is, or am I going to choose something that I like doing and I'm comfortable with and just do that and say that satisfies me, you know? So those are big questions and hard ones to answer too, you know, when, like, we want some comfort in this life, don't we? And how do we get it without being selfish, you know? You ever think about that? You know, or do we sometimes, and I'm talking about out loud about myself, but sometimes, you know, do I give just to make myself feel good? You know, and those are honest questions, and I would say sometimes I probably do. Sometimes I probably give something because I know I'm going to feel better giving it, even though I haven't got a clue what the guy's going to do with it. So, anyway, enough goody-two-shoes stuff for me. All right, moving on about this last part of this step that says, you know, seeking God's will as opposed to mine, you know. And I think that kind of is an answer to all this stuff I'm saying, like, this God or this entity, this higher power, this way of life that I subscribe to, how do I determine what is the right thing versus what I want to do? How would you go about that? Just determining in any instance if a decision you make at the spur of the moment is one that's going to satisfy a need first, or is it something that I'll choose to do because I know I'll feel better at the end of it, you know?
I made an abrupt decision like that too, you know. When the year started, my year started off very, very bad. You know, my year started off as I was in a recovery house. I was in detox, and then I was in a recovery house. And you know, I decided to move forward positively, and I went from the recovery house to Scarborough here, and this is when everything started falling into place, when I decided to start praying and really, you know, really looking to a higher power to help me rid me of this addiction. And things started coming into play when I decided to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you've done a lot with social media too, and I know we were talking about it on the way over, like you post so often, you know, on different groups that you've started, most of them as far as I know, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like the, is it okay to mention the name of any of these? Okay, like this Friends for Life, like that's a thing that really stands out for me, you know, and so does the other one, but anxiety and depression, because I know all these things
anxiety,
personally.
Depression.
But the Friends for Life caught me, and it just that, to me, that's the only kind of friend that really exists, is one that's always there.
That is a new one for me. Somebody invited me to that group.
Okay.
And like you, I the name caught me.
Yeah.
You know, Friends for Life. So I subscribed to that group. And there's a few people there that I know. A lot of people I don't know because I didn't start the group.
Oh, okay.
But it's coming together pretty good.
Yeah.
And I like the name.
Yeah, I do too. And I try to say to people who we meet anywhere, whether it's on the street or in the jail or somewhere, that, you know, I'm not going away. You know, you may go away, you may come back, you may not, whatever, but I'm not going away. I'm, as long as I'm alive, you know, and God willing, I mean, if I have the power to do so, I'll always be there, you know, and you can always call and we'll do something, you know, and I'm not going to leave you flat. And I guess that, again, that comes from things that are probably scriptural, really, you know, like I'll never abandon you and that kind of stuff. Because, and I know you must know this even better than I do, but I grew up with an alcoholic father who came back from the war and never really calmed down for 30, 40 years after. And, you know, and when he finally did, life was a little different. But during that whole time, I felt abandoned, like all my life. You know, there was, sports or anything like that, you know, that I would attempt. I never had a dad come and see that stuff or anything. And I think you can relate to that.
I can relate to that. That's a lot of where a lot of my issues started. Mm-hmm. You know, my addiction started. You know, not really knowing my dad. Coming to Canada at 9 years old, meet my mother, known her for 6 years. She, you know, threw me out, and I turned to the streets, and mm-hmm. the drugs kind of, filled a void
mm-hmm.
that helped me to cope. But things are still there. You know, the reason why I was using those reasons haven't gone away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just found a way to cope with it,
right.
Much more better. And you know, by walking away from the things that used to tie me down,
mm-hmm.
and walking into sobriety, now it's like night and day. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people, like I used to say that, the person I used to be would never hang out with the person I am today. And, you know, some people, like, they can't really, you know, relate to me as not using, because I've always used. But it's
that's a good one.
Yeah.
What you've lived, you know, at such a young age, having already been, you know, abandoned and then ending up on an airplane at 8 or 9 or whatever and coming over to Canada to be with this mom who obviously left at some point or you wouldn't have been separated, and then to be there for a few short years and then to be, you know, abandoned through no fault of your own, really, you know. It's just who you would become living the life you lived. You know, and then being that way for a lot of years, and now coming out of that, and having to face in total sobriety, you know, like in your rehabilitation program and so on, recovery program, facing these things that, you know, that rip your soul apart, facing them head on, and being able to live through those rotten feelings and not go back to any crutches, you know, whether it be booze, drugs, rock and roll, women, sex, whatever, you know, you're able to do with or do without, you know, and that's pretty powerful. And
yeah, it's pretty hard. That's, you know, why we they talk about, you know, you need a God-based atmosphere to really guide you, you know, because I was trying it on my own and it wasn't working, so it's,
yeah. And you found some support, like, right in the recovery house that you were talking about, didn't you? I mean, right from day one, you still go back there and, you know, represent. In a sense, you see one of our sheets talks about ambassadors. You know, you're an ambassador for the program you went through.
I like going back.
Yeah.
I like going back. I actually, you know, the first time I went back, I was thinking, oh, it takes me an hour and a half to get here, and... you know, all these things start going through your mind, but you know, it's the sense of helping somebody as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just hoping to reach one person. You know, I find that if I can help one person, then you know, going back is meaningful.
When you went through that program, was that a 12-step based one, or did it have anything to do with that, or?
No, it was basically. NA and CA and AA.
Yeah.
It wasn't just...
Okay, so it's 12-step based because they all are in one way or another.
Yeah.
So, and we are, as you know, sharing the burden. We've, you know, changed the name to protect the innocent sometimes, but the 12 basic steps are just a way of life, you know, and they're a good way of life, and that's why we started sharing the burden. It was so that people didn't have to qualify, but could come and spend time and share and hopefully, you know, get some support for whatever it was they were going through, and it's worked quite well. I remember you commenting on, like, it's comfortable to go to a place where...
Yeah, it's funny because when I came to Scarborough, I was looking for a place that didn't, you know, didn't mind who I was or what I was on. You know, they accepted everybody. And, you know, when I came to sharing the burden, there's just something that I even went home and I told my girlfriend, Lisa, I said, there's just something about that group that, you know, that makes me feel comfortable. And I wanted to go there. I wanted to be a member there. And still, I go there and I feel a sense of welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about sharing the burden, but I feel a sense of welcome. There's nobody whispering to say, well, you know, his issue is drinking, he shouldn't be here, or his issue is drugs, he shouldn't be here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sharing the burden takes in everybody.
Yeah.
And that's a great feeling.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting too, because there is a scripture, and it's one I kind of live by now, because it's not because I thought of it when we got the name Sharing the Burden. It was something that came along quite recently, really, and I was just reading one of these recovery books, and the scripture they were basing everything on was this one in Galatians 6:2 that says, you know, we share our burdens with each other, and by doing so, we fulfill God's law. You know, we fulfill the law of the Christian man or woman or whatever, in that, you know, when he came to town a couple thousand years ago, he said, you know, all those commandments are great, and they're all basically understood by people. It's innate. It's built into them anyway. But he just said, you know, love your God and love your neighbor, and that's all you had to do. And then he says in this one that, you know, if we do this sharing the burden thing with each other, then we're fulfilling that law. And I thought, you know what, that's the most powerful piece I've seen in the whole New or Old Testament or any other literature. And I thought, well, that's what I'm going to live by, you know, in this program. And And that's what I'm going to tell people, just like I'm doing now. And I've tried it already in the jails a couple of times, and it's workable because it's simple. You know, we share. We learn to share and share hard and deep, and to go where we're not comfortable because maybe that guy doesn't think he can go there, and if he thought before he talked to you that if he went there, he wasn't going to be able to come back, you know, and you're proof that you can come back and you can stay upright and you can stay away and there is hope. And, you know, as long as you share it and grow in your sharing of it, you'll help others. And, man, that's a purpose for life, just knowing that you have something that can save lives, you know, and you do, and you're doing it. And that is fundamentally why we exist, at sharing the burden. And, you know, it's great to have you as part of the team, Lloyd, and I really appreciate you coming out and, you know, in this weather and everything else and meeting me and coming up here, so.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you again, Scott, for having me on the show and for having Jason. Well, happy belated birthday,
Jason. Oh, thank you very much, Lloyd.
I mentioned that.
Yeah.
But yeah, my year started off very, very bad. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the year, coming to the end of the year now, and I don't know if I'll be on the program before the year ends, but it's my 11th month that I'm clean.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just grateful for sharing the burden and, you know, this radio station for having me and on the program.
Wonderful. And we will get you back, because that year's, believe it or not, as important to me as it is to you, especially in that you find spending time with Sharing the Burden as a good way to spend time, and that means a lot to us. So with that, we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to see you all next time. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show, and hope you'll share it. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.